So we're those all going to be brown. And my the ending, and I'm not going to say the ending, but the
cops
ending,
shoot
them. You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What is up, real ass dudes? Puerto Rican rattlesnakes. American rattlesnakes, too. I'll include you guys in there. Why not?
Thanks, buddy.
I'm your host, Luis J. Gomez, hanging here with the international superstar, Zach Amico.
Hey, pal.
Chris Scopo's in the house.
What's up, buddy?
Bringing some fucking leftovers from Thanksgiving dinner. Yes. Thank you very much.
Aunt Judy made great leftovers.
Oh, there was Aunt Judy's cooking.
Aunt Judy cooked, yeah.
You can still send your regards to your mom for me.
I know you love my mom.
Guest in studio, Dante Nero is here.
What's up, bitches?
Hilarious comedian, host of the Beige Phillip podcast. And now I'm hearing some sort of pimp-ass consultant. I want to talk to you about that
on today's
show. Obviously, big show today, celebrating Black Friday. Chris Tinkle is nowhere to be found. I don't know. Last week, Tinkle told me he wasn't going to be on the show. This week, he might be dead.
He might be ate by a dragon.
Yeah, who knows what's going on with Chris Tinkle right
him
now.
Him get burned by fire.
We're going to find out Chris Tinkle's just in a hunk of ice somewhere, and he's going to be discovered.
Encino Man.
2 million years from now. What happened to Chris Tinkle? No, he got caught up in a hunk of ice.
He's going
to
show up here in mud, like, where is Shaw Lewis? Maddie, Lewis?
Maddie, we just keep your ear to the ground for the rest of the show and see if Tinkle's going to show up at one point.
Sorry about that.
Oh, thank you, Dante.
I'm on a podcast.
Are you answering a phone call? This is when you know Dante is a true badass motherfucker, because there's nobody else. If they just answered their phone on my podcast, I would threaten to kick them in their head.
Yeah. Sorry.
And Dante, I just have to take it. Dante just answers his phone. He'll fucking smack my chick on the ass.
Yo, Miss Scopo, I'll call you right back. Yeah. I'm on a podcast.
I'd be like, Daddy? Daddy's here? Oh, my God.
So, look, Scopey. Man, we're going to have a great show today. Obviously, everyone celebrated Thanksgiving yesterday. I want to talk to all you guys about what you did for that. We got some fan questions coming in today. It's going to be a fucking sick show. I'm trying to keep myself level and in a good mood because today at Stand Up New York Labs, we are fucking up left and right. There's no video. There's no live stream. Shelby is sweating over there.
If I talk too loud, am I peeking out?
He already peeked out once. I already heard it. And every time Scopo peeks out, I swear to God, it's another thing that I'm going to do in my... I'm taking a mental note of another thing that I'm going to do to fuck over John Fattigate's life. Every time Scopo peeks out on the show. So who knows, guys? This very well could be the last show that Real Ass Podcast does under the banner of Stand Up New York Labs. So many fuck-ups today on the show. It's unbelievable, guys.
Stay tuned.
Special, you know what? Hold on, Shelby, do you have any special announcement music? Because I'm going to make a special announcement. Special announcement right now on today's show. He doesn't have any music ready. It's okay. Next week, we are making a special announcement. And it's probably going to be a new podcast network. There we go. This is my special announcement music. Thank you, Shelby.
Guys, get psyched for the pod-ass Realcast. For Riotcast Networks.
Can you call
Realcast.
Maddie, can you call Bobby Kelly and start negotiating the contract? Because we need to move things forward here. This is a little bit crazy here. Unbelievable. Stand Up New York Labs is falling apart.
Better start now. It took me 2 years to get on the fucking Riotcast Network.
Jesus Christ.
2 years.
2 years, that's how long it took you?
Yeah, you were talking me up for a year, but...
But I think, you know what it is? They like having a show that's established, that, you know, you have to have a library of shows to come in with, a fan base to bring in. They want to see that you are serious about it. Unlike Stand Up New York Labs, who at one time, if you just came up to them and said, hey, I have an idea, they would say, hey, do a podcast. They didn't even need you to finish the sentence. Just do a podcast. We'll make a podcast out of
it. Yeah, did you ever hear the Jamcast?
The Jamcast, exactly. So, look, dude, we're gonna. What'd you do, Dante, yesterday for Thanksgiving? What was your deal?
I hung out with the fam, just ate with my...
No, you mean like the actual family,
not some bitch I was fucking...
In a basement.
No, just the fam moms. Moms and sisters. Now, I have three older sisters.
Black people do, they know how to cook. That's a fact. I live in Harlem. Busy.
My mom makes a giblet mushroom gravy that you can put on a dead dog
and
make
good.
It delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing about black people. Because white people, you got to almost like go to the South. like white people from New York, like it's just they're fucking, they're not,
they're not into it. Like
they don't know how to cook. Okay. Yeah. I live in Harlem. I will go out for lunch just to the average spot. As long as there's black people behind the counter, I'm like,
good to go.
Delicious food.
It's going to take you an hour and a half to get your meal, though.
Probably going to get into a fist fight with the person behind the counter.
Right.
Terrible at customer service.
Right. But if you want a great lunch at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
So you did it with the family. Yeah. Are you one of these people that you guys get together and it's like craziness and fights and all that shit? Because that's my family.
Well, I'm the only one that fights. I mean, I got a bunch of sisters and they're all bitches. Like, they're all like princesses. Like, yeah. They're like, my older sister is my mother's, is my father's first daughter. My middle sister is my mother's first daughter. And my younger sister is the only daughter of the union of my father and mother.
I'm already
so
lost.
You're okay. So your parents went out and fucked and had other kids in between
and
your younger sister.
No, before.
Okay, I got
it. Right. They've had each one of them have what you call that princess syndrome, where they think the whole world is about them.
Just women in general.
Yeah, but
you can be honest.
But older women, like the first child of every is usually the worst.
Yeah,
they're the absolute because they're spoiled and they don't, you know, it's the first child and then they're, you know, women are entitled anyway. And then they just, you know, and then to be pushed aside by somebody else is really, they lose their shit. Women are not built for rejection.
And do your family know all of your, you know, and I'm not gonna say crazy out there views on women, but
yeah,
they're not the traditional.
Yeah, I mean, I've been bringing bitches in the house since I was fucking 19, 18.
Yeah.
I used to live in the basement of our house. They stuck me down in the basement because it had its own entrance.
Yeah.
And I chicks would come in through the top floor and I would send
just
them.
Just had you on a chain against the wall.
And my mom never really knew how many women went down in the basement. Like they would, like two or three would come during the day.
Yeah.
Like when I was stripping, I'd fuck like three times a day.
So you were like Charlie Sheen before Charlie Sheen. You were doing that Tiger Blood.
Yeah, chick would come in the winning top. Shit. I'd send her out.
Yeah.
Then another would come in around 5 or 7 o'clock and she was, and I'd kick her out and then someone would come in the night and then she would be leaving in the morning.
When you're at Thanksgiving dinner though, I mean, do you take kind of the patriarch role and like kind of like.
Yeah, I cut the meal.
But do you do your shit where you're like, because look, you know, if you listen to the Beige Phillips show, you know, the whole concept of the show is get your balls back. You know, women, they act a certain way, and you kind of almost have to train your woman. Is something I've heard you say.
Sure.
Do you do that, or you just say, let me not get them fucking going at Thanksgiving dinner?
Like, they're all scared of me. Like, and they're afraid to get me
chained to the wall in the basement. I mean, I'd be scared of you too.
They're just afraid to get me upset because I know everything and I'm super honest. And I call them out on their shit. And nobody really wants to be exposed for who they really are. They want to keep the facade of who they are.
Yeah.
You know. But, I mean, I've tried to be, you know, cordial and but they don't respond to that. They just respond to the beast when I'm acting like a fucking maniac. But they don't understand that. You know, it seems as if I'm going from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah.
But it's what the problem is, they don't acknowledge anything until I'm at 65. You know what I mean? And I'm already mad when I've already.
Well, it's almost like they keep on, like, you know, they keep on hitting you.
Yeah.
They keep on hitting you. And you go like, all right, you don't
stop.
Want.
You're like, stop, cut it out.
You don't want. You know, even like last night, we went to go see Creed. I went up to my aunt's place for Thanksgiving dinner. Had a great time with my sister. My aunt brought the baby, had my sister's baby there. But it was the first Thanksgiving that me and my son's mother didn't spend together because we broke up. And afterwards, we're coming back to the city and we're like, all right, we're going to go see Creed. I was like, Beatrice, do you want to come with us? And she's like, yes. But on the way back, you know, a simple miscommunication turns into her calling me, and I'm like in the car with people, and she's trying to fight with me. She's like, you don't really want me to go to this movie. And I'm going like, oh, well, hey, you know, I can't like talk about this right now, really. It's like, you know, it's your mistake. I'm in a car, you know.
But that's your mistake.
But she keeps on going, oh, you don't want to see this movie with me. Till eventually I'm in the car going, yeah, you know what? I don't want to fucking see the movie. You fucking crazy cunt. And I'm screaming and looking like a psychopath.
They barrage you. Yeah, it's constant.
And it's just
constant.
Nonstop just pelting you until you.
But this is why you have to go there right off. You got to look. So she goes, you don't really want to see. I go, okay, stop. If you don't want to come to the movie, don't come to the movie. I'm asking you to come to the movie because I want you here. And if you don't, then that's fine. If there's a problem, let's deal with it. If not, shut your mouth and stay the fuck home.
Yeah, I did that a lot, and that's why I am now living in a room.
Well, no, that's not true.
A dark, windowless room by myself.
That's not true. That's not true. You bent a lot. One of the reasons why I think that the relationship went to shit was because you were bending. You were not being who you are. And what you got to understand, I mean, and no, this was, Beatrice does what for a living?
She's a photographer and a bartender.
Okay, so she has no idea what comedy is. She has no idea what radio is. She has no idea what podcasting.
Yeah.
So whatever the fuck.
So you guys have that in common.
Good shot. Shots fired.
The fibers of our relationship.
So what's interesting about this is, so she met you while you were doing this.
Yeah.
She has no fucking clue about any of those things.
No, in fact, she loved the fact that not only that I was a comic and an artist and a radio host and podcaster, but she also loved the fact that I wasn't completely together. The fact that I was like a project to work on.
She wanted to make you what you were.
Well, there's a certain women in general have like that mom type of instinct.
Sure.
And she saw a project in me, and I don't think, and because we put our best versions of ourselves forward on the first few, maybe not you, Dante.
I disagree. I'm going to tell you why
Would you wear a fucking turkey leg around your neck? It's a little different.
Here's what you have to start. A woman falls in love with you for everything that you are. She spends the rest of the relationship trying to change you into everything that you're not. If she succeeds, she dumps you for a guy who is what
Can
you
I
were
ask you a question,
when
though?
She met you.
Do you not believe that most people, once they start a relationship, or anybody, you get a new job, you meet a new buddy, you start hanging out with somebody from work, aren't they only seeing the absolute best, well-behaved version of you for the most part? It takes a while to peel away the layers and figure out what a piece of shit I am. And after a year or so, all of my secrets are out. Everything that I've ever done is out.
You're mistaken.
And then you make a real decision on whether or not you enjoy somebody.
I know who you are, and I know the things about you was very obvious, the dirtbag shit about, but at your core, you're a good dude. And at your core, you can see that when you're with your son, what a good father you are as your son. So that's really at the core of it. All that other shit is peripheral. So what's interesting is when you were talking about smoking weed and how she didn't want you smoking weed and this, and you were bending, I really shouldn't. I go, dude, you're making a mistake.
Well, I was hiding it from her, which was the biggest mistake.
What was the biggest mistake?
Because it was one fight. All it was one fight at me going, hey, I'm smoking pot. Some people like to drink a glass of wine. Some people like to fucking go for a run for their high.
I like to get high all day long.
I like to wake up in the morning and smoke a blunt to the head and then handle my toddler, okay? Let me live my life.
Well, and here's the thing is that you're a great dad, and it never – listen, you were doing way more drugs when I met you.
Yeah.
And you were still working when you were a horrible comic, remember? And
then
and you were doing Poster Dog when you were running your shows. And you Lewis just thought, I can do this. This is nothing. And he was fucking horrible.
But it's funny. We played videos on The Last Legion of Skanks. If you want to hear some bad comedy, oof. We played videos I was probably about a year and a half or 2 years into comedy. Dave was like merely months into comedy. Uh-huh. But the horse shit we were doing.
But it's just the way it is. That's how you get into it.
It's naturally, it's naturally just the game. You kind of stink.
You kind of stink. You definitely stink.
I definitely stink.
Yeah, everyone stinks.
But here's the funny part. All the ideas I think were kind of good. The bones of the jokes.
Sure, because you had. Because
you have funny perspective and funny taste.
Right, you're a funny dude already. But the artistic, the technicalities of comedy is something that you have to learn.
It's the difference between having rhythm and being able to be a professional drummer. Yeah.
Dude,
so you can have rhythm and get what catching a beat is, but to go and play drums, it's a skill set that takes time over and over and over again practicing, and that's what stand-up comedy is.
I played football for years, defensive and offensive line. Defensive line, when you want a defensive line, you have to do what they call duck walk. You have to turn your feet outwards because it gives your feet more surface area.
So I weirdly naturally stand that way.
Well,
if you were just watching me, my natural stance, I stand like a fat duck. Like my feet are both pointed outward.
My right foot goes out like a duck, yeah.
But when you're on the defensive line, that's something that you have to learn to do, and you learn to do that because from peewee football, they start teaching you to duck walk, and then as soon as somebody hits you, you pop and you go right into that. So it's
muscle memory.
It becomes a technique that you have to learn So you have these kind of interesting life perspective, and then you learn the aspects of comedy, the technicality of comedy, and then you try. Then you have to learn to merge the two together. There's no way you can do that in a year.
No, and by the way, the guys that do it in 3 or 4 or 5 years, those are the super impressive guys. And people don't even realize how impressive it is when a guy can figure it out on that high of a level just a few years.
They're just so talented that we don't know. There's so much skill in 5 years and being fucking on SNL like
that. Yeah, it's a great point.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing. But even they get to the point where, when you get that, then there comes what is the next step beyond that?
They're on a different level of comedy than I am 5 years in to their 5 years in.
Well, I'll tell
I'm
you
looking
this,
to try I, to feature. They're looking to try to fucking be the best.
I've seen, like, I remember seeing Pete Davidson, and at 17 years old, and I was like, that kid has something special.
You saw he has something, yeah.
And instantly I saw him. When I saw him on his first show, he was 17 years old. Before, when he was a virgin, I helped him get laid. I talked him through his first getting pussy. And what happened was, but the question is, what happens now? Now that he's an adult, where does his comedy go from this point?
I recognize in Pete, I remember when I first saw him when he was a kid as well. I mean, I hate to suck his dick so much on the show, and we have a bunch, but I do think he's a really talented kid. But I remember before he even knew how to tell a joke, one of his first jokes was about his dad dying in 9/11.
Right.
And I was like, oh, shit. The fact that a 16 or 17-year-old kid even recognizes that is something you should be talking about means that you're going to be a really good comic.
He was never afraid to bomb. I've seen Pete fucking bomb a bunch of times.
Sure,
but he's never afraid.
But he always had. But here's the question. Now I'm interested to see, because he's gotten so much fame and so much recognition so quick, where does his comedy go from this point on when he has so much? Like, what's the incentive to push artistically past to the next level?
Well, I think, I think that's what makes or breaks people. It's people that become satisfied, and you've seen them. You see certain guys who get a certain amount of success. They get there, they get their hour, their headlining set, they get their TV shit, and then they sit on it and they don't move anywhere.
Right.
And you go, oh, they just got satisfied. They thought they made it.
Right.
And they don't move. And then the other people...
And they may have made it in terms of finances and the stuff.
They're not going
to
get to...
But we're talking about artistically is a whole other thing. But
What's called... Zach, what did you do yesterday for Thanksgiving?
Boring New Jersey white people shit.
What do you mean?
Nothing interesting.
Just fucking...
Some dry-ass turkey.
Yep, absolutely. No flavor to anything.
My aunt used to make... She's such a shitty cook. She's so bad. My sister made the dinner this year. My son's mother made it last year. Dude... I don't know what it is about just fucking white people. They just don't know how to cook.
This is how bad. Well, this is the
like a salad with iceberg lettuce and tomatoes. That's a salad.
Since I'm 5 years old, my mom is continually proud of herself for the Pillsbury Crescent rolls.
Yeah, which they're tasty. I have no problem with them.
But that is like, and then everybody says what they. My mom goes, and I made the crescent rolls. Like, they always try to assign my mom the one thing she can't fuck up.
Yeah.
Mom's like, all right, we're eating at Granny's at 3 o'clock. We got to get there at 1. Why? I have to set the table.
Yeah.
Because we can't taste the table.
I mean, the meal was fucking like
unbelievable.
We had turkey, two types of stuffing. We had garlic string beans. We had mushroom.
Yeah, but they don't tell you that they eat like the turkey's head in his house and everything.
Mushroom. We had sautéed mushrooms. We had macaroni and cheese. We had asparagus.
See, I don't have that in my family. No one.
They
has
don't do that.
White people don't do macaroni and cheese. Yeah, yeah.
But white people do macaroni and cheese as a meal itself.
Yeah, there's like, you can go to like in like the village, you'd be like, go to the macaroni factory. Yeah. There's like 40 different types of macaroni and cheese. Build your own mac salad. That's a fucking
thing.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing.
If you put mac and cheese in my family for Thanksgiving, that would be an enigma to people. They would know what the fuck that was.
Yeah, but that's just like good Southern.
Yeah.
Southern cooking, man. I do think
we had lamb as well. We had lamb, ham, and roast beef.
Spam, ham. Pam.
Pam, Stan.
They got a rhyme in Black families, too. It's a whole thing. They got a rap at the table when they present it all. Got cranberry, strawberry, blackberry, Tom and Jerry. So look, I should have said Ben and Jerry. I would have nailed it with the last part of that.
Mm.
I fucking...
Oh, you know what? I was going to say something, though. What I was going to say is the whole point was, like, for Beatrice to look at what you've done, that you've been in the business as long as you've been in the business, to dictate what you should do in the context of your business is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't go to some plumber and just go, yo, what do you think I should do about my comedy career? So it's like the audacity to think... that you know when you don't have a fucking clue.
You know, it's not even just, I could see if it was just that. Look, she got mad about a lot of the stuff that I've said and done on radio, podcasts, all that stuff. But it's also just like, I don't know, man, it was beyond, it became so much, it was almost like everything. Like the type of movies, or the type of music we liked, or like, we just were really different people. And I think that wears on you after a while. And, you know, look, we ended up having a kid. And I think that kind of like kept us together for a little bit longer than we would have ended up being together.
You think?
You know, look, I can sit here and try to dissect. I could try to dissect everything that went wrong in the relationship, and it would just
be
shows
only an hour.
You have to understand there was something about the fact that it was your differences that attracted her to you in the first place. And when you started bending those differences to accommodate her, which was clearly a mistake.
Well, look, I'm with you. I feel like I'm 100% right. I feel like I'm actually this today, the guy that I am, 2015, November 27th, Luis J. Gomez. Is a much better person, a much more put together person. I'm just at my core, I'm so much at a higher level of a human being than I was 7 years ago when she met me, or 6.5 years ago when she met me. I was a borderline piece of garbage back then, and I think I've become a fairly good person. And it just becomes really difficult to have the one person that you want to see it not be able to recognize it. And somebody like you, Dante, who we're friends, we're good friends,
right.
But we're casual friends in the sense that we're only in each other's lives maybe a couple times
a
month.
That's because we're working, yeah. and that's the point.
But the fact that you can recognize
that, or
other people that are in my life can recognize that, and the mother of my child doesn't recognize it, it became really hurtful.
Yeah, but the point is that I've had girls that I dated, and they were like, well, I've taken a picture that maybe had been too cozy, more cozier than they would have liked. And a chick screamed. And I'm like, first of all, who the fuck are you? Like, what about you makes you think that you can judge what the fuck I do when you have contributed nothing? You never wrote a joke for me. You don't help my podcast. You haven't bought a wire in my podcast. You haven't set 16, 18 hours shooting movies. You've done shit. And everything that you have is because of me. Everything I've done for you, everything that I've helped you, the audacity for you to open your mouth and go, I think, shut the fuck up.
I'll tell you though, Dante, it's a little different though, because I don't have that relationship with my chick. My son's mother wasn't a person who didn't help me or do anything for me. You know, the truth is she picked up the slack for the first few years in our relationship. We had a kid, you know, I became a full-time comic while we had a kid, which obviously, you know, I went from making a job where I made, you know, nearly six figures and quitting that to do comedy full time.
I'm going to tell you something. I guarantee you that you have given her more in her life than she's ever given you.
I don't know. I think it's up for debate. I mean, look, I think
it's not up for debate, because I think what happens is what is attached to us as a man is directly related to our manhood. Our ability to provide and what we do and what we consider just being a man is a list of things that we do for our women all the time. We make everything okay. You could be married to Oprah, but you got to be strong enough to be with a bitch who's worth $50 billion and tell her that everything is okay when she can buy and sell you every day of her life. That in itself takes a different kind of fortitude that other men don't have. Knowing that this bitch could pay somebody to make you disappear. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta be able to rub her big ass head and tell her that A, everything's gonna be okay, and make her believe it.
Well, here's the problem. I that's where I failed. You know, there does have to come a certain amount of personal responsibility at one point. I didn't make her believe it. At one point, I got to look in the mirror and go, like,
Of course you did.
Because I'm here now. I'm living in a different apartment right now.
Of course you made her believe it. You put her at a position where she thinks that she can do this on her own. So you overdid it. You overdid it. She would have had a kid and did it on her own if you hadn't built her up?
Let me all say, it's not on her own. I moved literally a few minutes away from, like, a walk away.
That's the, so then
well, that's only because I want to I want to be in my kid's life every single day, all day long. So it's a little, you know, it's a little different. So, but like I said, we just, I also think it's just a different type of woman. You know, there's lots of different women in the world. There's women.
No, it's not. Hold on, all hold on. There's the women. Fucking same.
There's women that embrace their instinct to be a mother and to have that type of. That type of personality that wants to take care of you. And that's what my chick's instinct is to do that. That's why she was attracted to me in the beginning. She's a great mother. But then there's this whole feminist initiative which is trying to suck that instinct out of women and say, no, you shouldn't be a mother. You shouldn't be a stay-at-home mom. You shouldn't be somebody who supports your husband or your boyfriend's dream. You need your own dream. You need... The idea of somebody being a mother, that being somebody's dream, is looked down upon by young feminists and young college girls.
But what the fuck does young feminists know? You know, when have you ever talked to some young chick and go, wow, she knows so much. She's so interesting and she gets it. You don't know shit.
They don't.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm 49 years old. I've been with thousands of women.
And you look amazing, my dad.
Thank you, my 49 friend.
49 years old. I mean, that's unbelievable.
I've been with thousands of
Black
women.
Black 70.
And Zach is actually 80. He's actually 12. Zach is 12. So, I've been with thousands of women, and none of them are interesting. They're never interesting. Yeah. There's never a situation where I've dated
think,
some girl and I was like,
what?
What
do you think the age is, Dante, where you're like, they start to become interesting? Where they, you know,
they don't. Even at that. Because
that's so there's no interesting women?
Listen to what I was.
There's interesting women.
Let me ask you something. This is a quote.
Beyonce is interesting.
Say that. But that ass is fat. She's a dumb. Beyonce's dumb. You ever hear her talk?
I'll hear her sing,
though. You know, I don't mean
to interrupt you, Dante. I think what, from my opinion, is when you have some chips on the table, that's when you start to be interesting.
50,
that's when you start
when
to.
When a chick is 50, she's interesting.
Well, hold on. What about
40 to 50?
What about a self-made millionaire that's 30? You don't think there's something interesting about that chick?
Okay.
There's something strong about her personality.
But here's what happens when you have a self-made millionaire who's a female millionaire who's 30. She has neglected so many other aspects of her personality to do that. See,
we all have to become
to become
a millionaire at 30. Anybody, and this is I really truly believe this. You need to be so narcissistic and involved in yourself and your job and your career. It's really has to be about you that you're going to ignore other aspects of your life, whether you're a man or you're a woman.
That's the difference. In order to do that, you have to develop aspects of your personality because you cannot create relationships unless you're charming and you're interesting enough to get these personalities. The first thing we learn as soon as your dick gets hard is you learn how to con a chick into fucking you. You're trying to get her to like you. And so in the initial of your first erection, what you're doing is you're going, I need to be interesting. I need to find a way to get to this woman, to get in this chick's pants. So now, I'm not saying we are always trying to do that. But you never see a guy. I've never met a girl who was as interesting as me. Never, ever. Ever. And even if she is interesting, when I start talking about the shit that I've done, our conversation becomes a lecture. It becomes a monologue as opposed
to. But that's also, I think, a little bit of a reflection on you because as comics, we're very narcissistic. It's very difficult to have a conversation about one of my girlfriend's dreams and aspirations because what's happening in my head, as soon as she goes, she's like, oh my God, I'm so. Excuse me. I'm so motivated. I'm going to go shoot this band next Friday. I'm immediately going, oh shit, yeah, dude, I'm motivated. Next Friday, oh, I'm doing this thing. Like, that's where my head is automatically going. Like, what's going on for me? How is that going to work
but
for
there's
me?
There's a reason for
and
that.
And I think this is why a lot of comics have a hard time having relationships. It's the same reason why a 30-year-old self-made millionaire female would have a problem having a relationship.
It's not the same.
Because
dude.
It's narcissism. You have to be into yourself in order to be successful in that type of level.
You get a 50-year-old woman who's a millionaire, right? You have a situation where
the life has slowed down for her. At 50 is a little different though.
Okay, 40, whatever. I mean, how many women do you know 30-year-old female millionaires who didn't marry into it? Like, come on, it's not really happening. You have to understand that women don't really have personalities. They are a reflection of the dude that they're fucking.
I think some women are.
Yeah,
right?
There's always an exception to
the
rule.
There's a great term that Big J and Kurt Metzger coined years ago, and I forget who they were talking about exactly, but they it was was, they said the term dick puppet. It's like you put your dick in them and they act how you want them to act.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a great, and I think a lot of women are dick puppets. You know, fuck them and then they like your music. They like what you like. They want to do what you want to do. They're on your timeline.
They're not really.
My son's mother is not a dick puppet. She is, I mean, literally, the dick goes inside of her and then it's like, it's the opposite. It's like a magic potion which sends her off on like a fuck you.
Here's the thing. The problem was that you gave her leeway and you gave her that leeway to dislike or like what you did, and you became the pussy puppet. You put your dick in her and then you started changing who you were instead of going, look, this is who the fuck
you're
I
right.
am.
I was a pussy puppet.
If you had
Mark
said,
pussy puppet for episode title?
Yeah.
if the thing she was like, well, why do you smoke? And you're like, I smoke weed. If you don't like it, you can get to stepping. What you did was you started contorting, because I remember when this happened. I was talking to you about this.
But this is also not just, this is most, you get a beautiful woman. Also, let me be honest.
Who it's
not
only her beauty,
but hold on,
her
not just, let me say this, not just a beautiful woman, but a woman who, and I had a few women in my life like this, who made me want to be a better person. Now, I understand smoking weed is not a bad person. I'm talking about just in general, made me want to be a more morally competent person. I wanted to live my life in a better way because of her influence over me, and I think that's an important thing to have. Right now, I'm in a very depressed state because I don't have that type of person in my life. It's the truth, dude. I mean, I'm putting on fucking weight right now. I'm eating like an animal. The realized diet went out the fucking window.
Let me explain
doing drugs.
Let me
You're hanging out with me.
I'm hanging out with Zach.
Yeah, that's the mistake, right?
It's like he's the ugly chick to make me feel better. I have another 100 pounds I can gain before I even start to approach Zach. This is a problem. But it's the truth. That type of influence over my life, I think it's really good to have. And I don't need the crutch
you
anymore.
Better not. You better not need that in your life to keep you. Because if you do, never let a bitch.
Look at me right now.
Smoking weed in the podcast.
Never
Jesus.
Let a fucking chick define you, because it won't be long till you ain't shit. If she defines you, yes, it is.
It's not letting her define you. It's using, it's like a fucking muse.
She is defining
Hold
you.
Hold on, let me say this. It's the same way that, no, it's. I don't think that my career defines me, but my career keeps me on track where I can't actually blow up to 300 pounds again. I can't actually fucking start doing drugs every night and not making spots. I can't do that because there's something that keeps me, that I really care about, that keeps me grounded and keeps me in reality. And that's the same thing with a good woman. And
if that becomes.
And you're also putting out energy, you might never find that woman for you.
If that becomes your muse, right?
Right.
Then you have given that power to somebody else who you should never give that power to.
But that's the relation. That's why they say,
fuck
hold on.
No.
But what you're talking about is fucking love. That's when you depend on somebody to fill something. That
you will
that
always
type
get your heart broke. If that's
Maybe.
What you think, you will always get your heart
broke. You may
broke.
Never love, Dante.
I always love. I love all the time. I have so
I'm
much love.
I'm not talking
love.
About throwing down that deep dick. I'm talking about real emotions.
I have so much love to give.
As you're shuffling one girl out of the basement and one girl out the top stairs.
Here's what you have to understand. You have to have that love for yourself to define who you are and be that person. You're talking about dick puppets. Bonnie Parker. People don't know who Bonnie Parker.
Thank God he didn't say Bonnie McFarlane. I'm like, come on. I don't need any podcast awards on this show.
Bonnie Parker was from Bonnie and Clyde. That bitch was a seamstress. She was sewing sundresses. She met a dude who was killing cops and robbing banks. She goes, fuck the sundresses. I'm going to go kill cops.
Dick puppet.
And I'm not saying that there are always exceptions to the rules, but not many. There are not many. And if you think that the fact that you think because this is the mother of your child that she was different than everybody, all bitches are the same. They all do the same shit. But you know what? Here's what's interesting about that. All men are the same. We all respond in ways that men.
Here's
respond.
My problem, Dante, and this is where we butt heads. And I love your philosophy, and I believe in a lot of it, but I have my own philosophy in life. And it on a fundamental level, it goes against it. You know, I believe that it's our job to play our cards, you know, and you're dealt certain cards and it doesn't matter what the cards are. And there's so much nuance in everybody's life and everybody can do whatever they want. If I were to believe that, being a young Puerto Rican man whose mother was a heroin addict, whose dad was murdered when I was very young, I should be out there robbing people's houses right now and be in prison, because that's what the numbers would tell you. And that's what in general the kids that have my upbringing do. But I don't use that excuse, and I try to do something good with my life, and I try to be a good influence on my kid, because I do believe that you can't make generalizations, or you shouldn't live your life based off of those generalizations. So no, I don't believe that every woman is a dick puppet, and I don't believe that every man has a
certain way of acting. I think that Chris Scopo is a very much a different person than you. I mean, Jesus Christ, look at you two.
Well, our lower halves are very similar. Let's be honest. They
are. You got Dante ass.
I like it that I have Scopo ass.
Yeah.
So, but I'll tell you something. The reason why, to say that people are not similar and people don't do the same, it's just absurd. That's why they call it behavioral psychology. This whole era of people going to therapy, people go to therapy because people were act in patterns.
Yeah.
So to think that, okay, I'm different, it is so the audacity.
Yeah, but everyone's pattern is different. Like, you're right, I do agree.
No, it's not. We all react the same way to the same things over and over. There's slight differences in here and there, but we all do the same shit. You get a chick who's a whore. She's a whore because she's been molested and because she's trying to desensitize herself to an intimate action. So she gives out her pussy, sells her pussy, so that she
Wait,
can,
do we have one? Are we bringing one in?
It's his next show.
But these patterns happen over and over again. And sure, there are ways that we act out of those lines that most people act. But that takes work and energy and realization that I am the same as this guy who would have done the same thing. You understand that there are dudes whose mother was a heroin addict, and you know what the numbers are, and you go, man, I don't want to be that. And so you do everything contrary to not be that.
Yeah.
But to not recognize that those numbers are valid, and that human beings who go under those same circumstances usually end up here. That is the proof of what I'm saying, is that we all do the same shit. And to think that women don't do the same thing, they're even more so, because they're so unaware of who they are, because emotionally their reality is based on what they're thinking at the time when they're talking. I love you, you're the only one for me, until you're not. Until the next dude is better. Until she can find an upgrade. Now you're not. You're the greatest thing that ever happened to me, Louis. You inspire me because you're so...
Are you speaking as you right now?
No, I'm speaking as Beatrice. Oh, okay. Okay. Because I know she said that.
Yeah.
And then it's, well, you ain't
she
shit.
She said that for like 3 days.
Okay, 3 days is good enough, and then you ain't shit.
Dante.
So if you let her define you in terms of when she's boosting you up and going, you know, you can do this and you can do that, what you do is you give her the option to shit on you when she decides that you're worthless.
Dante Nero, get your balls back. Bass Phillips Show.
Guys, Bass Phillips Show.
You know, look, Dante, he's fucking real deal. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit later on in the show about your consultation, because I want to plug it on the show, because sure. I do think you know what you're talking about. And I do think that there are men that could use your assistance and your guidance. I think that I am in a specific situation.
You're
and
not.
I think that if I use I've your techniques, I'm going to probably end up diving headfirst off the George Washington Bridge. It's not going good, guys.
I can fix you in a weekend.
If you've ever seen me, I've been having like a cheat month. We're going to take a picture of my body because we're on video today. But I'm going back on the real ass diet today. I had to put on probably maybe 25 pounds over the past month. It's been a fucking nightmare. And it's all from depression. It's all been depression
sure,
eating.
Sure.
Shelby, I got a question of the day. I asked a specific question again. Sometimes we're going to ask you guys to submit your questions. Sometimes we're going to ask you guys a question. But I did go and see Creed last night. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about that. But I wanted to know what the fans thought was the best movie in the Rocky franchises. And let's go to our question segment. That will be fixed in post.
Give me a fucking answer! Give me a fucking answer! Give me a fucking answer! Give me a fucking answer!
This should be ending now. Right now.
Give me a fucking answer!
Of course. Of course, the brilliant producers at Stand Up New York Labs didn't do what they were supposed to do once again. This was supposed to be shortened.
I'm asking you for
a month and a half ago. Literally. Yet another reason why we might be moving to Robert Kelly's Riotcast Network. Guys, tweet at Bob Kelly. Tweet at Anthony Cumia. Free agent. And when I mean free, you don't have to pay us. We are free agents. What is the best Rocky movie and why? I asked the fans. Joe Conklin said Rocky IV because it was one of the greatest Cold War propaganda films ever.
Good answer.
Danny McRitchie, my boy from upstate New York, funny comic up there, he just posted a poster of the movie Rocky and Bullwinkle. It's funny. George Esposito, the one where Rocky fought Mo Tilden. Laughs were had, lessons were learned, and Mike Tyson slash Holyfield at the end. Missed the mustache, though. Funny stuff, George. Ben Conrad, Rocky III, dude. Sly doesn't just beat Mr. D. He beat the bejesus out of him in only three rounds. Best fight of the entire series. I'll debate this on air and scream a lot if you need, which is completely my style.
And so bird.
Yeah, Rocky III was a badass fight. I would say, in my opinion, and we'll talk, I want to get you all your opinions on this, but I think Mr. T is probably the best bad guy out of all of them.
I don't know, man. Drago?
Where did bejesus come from? Shelby, look up the origins of the word bejesus. Mike Lawrence, good friend of the show, was supposed to be on last week. He'll be on again soon. I think he's back out in L.A., but he says Rocky IV because it's fun, because being fun is more important than being good. And also, it is a time capsule to the specific year that it came out.
Which one? I'm sorry.
He says four.
Rocky
four.
Mike Hellman, Rocky III, Thunderlips, and Mr. T, bruh. Patrick Allen says Rocky I because Rocky and Creed's abs were impeccable. They looked good, man.
Wait, number one?
Yeah.
Rocky was a fucking fat piece of shit, number one.
Lafayette Wright says number three, because Clubber Lang is allegory for black men in America. Deny him opportunities for years and then call him a bad guy because he's mad about it. Also, when he propositioned Adrian, she thought about it, but Rocky never
let
her
answer. Black lives matter!
Ishmael Sanchez says, I would have said the original because it got nominated for awards. Okay, thank you, Ishmael, for just keeping it as straightforward and literal as possible. Obviously, number one is the best film.
I don't think the best film?
I mean, in terms of film?
That's because fucking Adrian was still in her fucking place, that bitch.
Yeah.
And three, later on, she's going, she's you on the, can't win!
Dude, she's on three, and she's screaming over the beach.
Who is that bitch? Who is she fought?
Bitch, go home and take care of those turtles.
That bitch didn't fight nobody. You can't win!
Dude,
shut
Rocky,
the fuck up.
Rocky needed Dante.
Yeah.
Right around Rocky three. She needed Dante. He needed Dante in his life.
See, you put a bitch in a big house with a circular driveway, and all of a sudden she knows boxing.
Then she's talking back.
Make your fucking gravy.
She's talking back to Paulie.
Put that bitch on that bag of pet food. Show her what's up.
I think
up.
It was Dante who originated the phrase "retards love the zoo." That was you. You said that, right?
I didn't say that.
Matt Serra, a wonderful UFC fighter, came on my show below the belt on SiriusXM not that long ago, and he made the point. He said, if you look out through the movies, it's just it's like real relationship because it just progressively got like worse. She was like shy at first.
Yeah,
and Rocky II, they fell in love. Rocky III, she was just fucking, you know,
she was
like
just there for him.
Yeah. Then by the time Rocky
IV, you can't win.
So funny,
shut
dude.
Shut the fuck up. You never been punched in the. Well, maybe he did punch in the. He was Italian, right?
And her brother used to smack the shit out of her.
That's right, Paulie.
They didn't care.
He fucking threw the turkey out the window.
In honor of Creed, what is your favorite Rocky movie out of the
four,
franchise?
You gotta go with four.
Gotta go with four?
Yeah, you gotta go. If you could learn to love me, and I could learn to love you.
Did you see the 30 for 30 they did?
Oh, how
yeah,
was funny.
Yeah, the fake 30 for 30 on Rocky.
It was funny or die.
On Rocky IV, dude?
You can love me, I can love you.
Dude, go.
Sometimes the punches didn't even have to land. The air.
Dude, Shelby, pull up the 30 for 30 Rocky IV and just play it from like somewhere in the middle, dude.
Do you know?
Because the audio will play on this. Dude, it was so funny, man. Whoever did that, like, what a brilliant fucking team of producers. I know it was done on Funny or Die.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing. Rocky IV, in my opinion, in terms of a movie, is the least good movie. Mm. It's a bad movie,
what?
Dude. It was so cheesy.
He goes to Russia and he trains old school.
And it's old school against technology.
Yeah. And steroids.
Chopping egg.
It was just so fucking weird, dude. Like the vibe of the movie was very weird. It just doesn't hold up. It's not as great as you actually remember. People always hate on number five. Five is my favorite one.
Can I say something? Five is my favorite. Fight scene.
Yeah, dude, it's the birth of mixed martial arts.
The best part is you knock him down. Let's try knocking me down now. How about that?
How many amazing speeches, quotes there were on Rocky V? He was doing MMA in a back alley. He put him through a cage. I mean, unfucking believable, dude.
My ring's outside.
I don't know.
Dude,
the five movie was a piece of shit, dude. He comes from, first of all, after four, they get off the plane from Russia. The kid ages 7 years.
Yeah, I know.
He goes from 7 to 14
it's a disease,
in a matter of 6 months.
He has progeria.
And then
He's a.
It's not cool to make fun of the kid, all right?
He's an elegant speaker in four, and then five, he goes back to, oh, I can't fucking talk good. You know, I moved back to Philadelphia. Well, that movie was a piece of shit.
That's the other thing is, like, can I ask you a question, though? In Rocky IV, you know, there's just something, it's not, it doesn't feel like a Rocky movie. You know, he's like filthy, stinking rich. You know, he's in this big mansion. He goes, it's weird. He goes to Russia for no reason.
He's got to go back to his roots.
Dude, Rocky V, he's fucking poor again. You know, you got, the, you have, it feels like, it just feels like Rocky, dude.
That
it's
was a good premise, though, that they had Paulie fuck his finances up. Like, you know, Paulie would fucking something, but yeah.
Power of attorney! They gave him power of attorney. Can you play the Rocky IV 30 for 30, Shelbo? You know, 30 for 30, the series on HBO? They did a fake one for ESPN. Rocky. Is it ESPN?
Yeah.
Man. If you could make me love you.
No, if you could change.
You change.
Or in the first round, Rocky was just outmatched. I mean, this was a bloodbath.
These guys landed 91% of their power punches. That's unheard of.
The fight became heated. And before long, it devolved into something that barely resembled boxing.
I've been covering boxing a long time. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, these guys would punch each other way after the bell sounded. They'd wrestle each other. They threw each other across the ring.
The corner men were fighting each other. Drago picked up his promoter by the neck.
That's the worst defense I've ever seen in a boxing.
That's hilarious.
Just to give you an idea how hard these guys were punching, sometimes the punch didn't even land, but the head flew back anyway, like from the air or something.
And that's so fucking funny. All right, Chad, you can cut it. Dude, I mean, so funny. Watch that 30 for 30 thing. It's funny. It is really, really good, dude. Here's the thing. Creed was a fucking great movie, okay? Here's the problem, okay? Everyone gave it I think a little bit too much credit. Rotten Tomatoes, I mean, it's something like, I'll look it up right now.
It was like 97%.
Oh, by the way, I asked on Twitter, what's a better Rocky movie, Rocky IV or Rocky V? Because I really believe Rocky V's way better. 86% say Rocky IV.
Yeah, Rocky V was dog shit.
Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, dude, here's the deal, right? People love this movie. It's gotten all these amazing reviews. I mean, and as a Rocky fan, you come out and you get so excited, like, holy shit, dude, not only is there a new Rocky movie coming out, but everyone loves it. Right now it's got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I go into it, like, with these expectations, like, holy shit.
Oh, you went and saw it already?
I went and saw it last night.
Okay.
I loved Balboa. I thought Balboa was a great movie.
That was a very underrated Rocky, but Rocky Balboa was good.
That was good.
Yeah, Balboa was an unbelievable movie.
So Creed, not so much?
It was solid, but there was just a few things. And listen, guys, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to give away, I won't give away anything that happens, but I'm going to give you some of my problems with it. So if you want, I might slip up a little bit here and say something you don't want to hear. So obviously, if that's the case, you know, fucking tune out for the next 10 minutes or so, because we're going to be talking about this movie. But they did a lot of shit that I just didn't agree with. Number one, the fucking love story blew. Okay, so he had a love story with this, like, Alicia Keys looking bitch. She looked like Denise from The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
And they did way too much of the love story. And my problem is, and Dante, I don't mean to sound racist here, okay? But I don't believe
you probably will.
I don't believe that blacks can love. No. It was like a fucking Nubian, like, African love story. Like, there's one scene where, like, he's braiding your hair from behind, and there's like R&B music playing.
It's like the blacks 9.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Instead of feeding strawberries out of the refrigerator, we braid your hair.
Do they do that?
Braid your scalp.
No. Do you braid women's hair?
No.
Do any black guys braid their woman's hair?
No.
Because I'm like, I mean, that was borderline making them eat bananas with their feet on the show.
Yeah.
It was the most racist thing I've ever seen.
If they would have said instead of braiding hair that he just greased her scalp, that would have really been the worst. That's the only thing you could do worse than cornrow is grease your scalp.
So they added
Apollo wasn't doing that shit, by the way.
No, he didn't do that.
They added this whole angle.
Apollo had bitches.
What happened. That's the angle in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Was Apollo cheated on his wife, and this kid was the product of affair.
It's not the mom?
No.
Oh, shit.
So the movie is set up, and this isn't really a spoiler, but the mom comes and basically gets him out of, like, juvie when he's a kid, and that's how he, you know, learns who his father is.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he kind of comes up, and, you know, he doesn't want, you know, people to know his name because they think it's going to, you know, they're going to give him chances because of his name. So he finds Rocky and Philly and blah, blah, blah.
Because nobody does that.
Yeah.
You know, uses their name to move up.
Yeah.
That never happens.
Yeah.
Sheba is Paulie in it?
No, Paulie's been dead for years, my friend.
Paulie didn't
die. Yeah, he was dead in Balboa.
No, he wasn't. The wife was dead in Balboa.
Didn't Paulie die in Balboa?
Adrian died in Balboa. He goes to the cemetery and just sits there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then Paulie's like, it's for freezing out here, Rock. Come on. She's gone.
Does Paulie die in Creed?
Paulie's alive. He looks like.
You can't win. Yeah. Shut up, bitch.
I was so glad she fucking died in six.
She had no faith in him at all. All
right, Paul, look, Paulie's dead, obviously.
Not unlike Beatrice.
I keep on hearing that over and over again every time I get on stage. You can't get left.
So you only got to wait four more movies, Lewis.
Shots fired.
Yeah, dude. So that was my problem with it. And then at one point, there's a scene where, you know how Rocky runs through the streets in the first one and the kids start chasing him?
You know they're going to do the same thing.
No, I wish they did the same thing. If they did the same thing, I'd be like, I'd roll my eyes a little bit and go, all right, that's kind of cheesy.
Right.
They, for some reason in this neighborhood in Philly, there's like a black motorcycle gang they have like dirt bikes.
I think it's like pit bulls.
The 12 o'clock boys.
Okay, maybe that's that. Maybe they're famous in Philly, but they wanted to get him involved in the movie. So a couple times he's going to the gym and he's like, what's up with all the motorcycles? I'm like, oh yeah, these guys always hang out here. And they come back in again. He's like, oh, what's up? He's like, oh, you're Creed's kid, right? He's like, yeah, man, what's up? And then he starts running through the streets. Then the scene, it's a fucking dope song. I'm like, oh shit, it's like a Kendrick Lamar song. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is fucking dope. He's running. And then you think he's going to go say, hey, come to a kid. No. He says it to one of the motorcycle guys. So then the motorcycle gang, all of them start riding alongside of him. And it looks like a rap video. At one point, he shows up at Rocky's house. And there's just the music playing. The motorcycle guys are doing wheelies around him. And he's yelling to Rocky. And I'm literally going, what the fuck has happened to my Rocky franchise? I don't mean to be racist, but Dante, but what else am I supposed to call these people?
We took it over, just like everything else.
This is ridiculous.
You can't stop black people, bro.
Dirt bikes.
Listen, it's only a matter of time.
We let Chris Cotton write this Rocky movie.
It's only a matter of time till your son has a black stepfather. It's going to happen.
Dante caught the chicken. He cut his head off and started doing a moo-moo-mambo type of dance. I don't know what it was, Dante.
You got it. We're going to get you. You can't stop it.
Those were my problems, and the ending, and I'm not going to say the ending, but the ending.
He's like,
He had something in his hand. I don't know what it was. It was in his hand. Please,
dude.
It was a belt.
It was a just shooting, guys. It was a just shooting.
Oh fuck me, dude. That's so funny. I don't want to give away the fucking end, but they could have done a way better job. We'll talk about this in a few weeks when everyone's seen the movie already.
I'm seeing the movie tonight, probably.
They had such an amazing opportunity, and I'll tell you guys after the show what they should have done. They had such an amazing opportunity to create such a perfect ending. Dave Smith leaned into me. He was like, dude, this is what they're going to do right now. And I'm like, oh, dude. Like, I started choking up. I was like, they're going to fucking do that, dude. And they didn't. And it's fucking, it was a miss up. It was terrible. The ending was terrible. I mean, it's maybe my second least favorite Rocky movie right below Rocky IV.
Wow.
The worst Rocky movie of all time that everybody loves. The most overrated Rocky movie of all time.
Are you kidding me,
Zach, what's your favorite Rocky movie?
I want to say 3 because it, Eye of the Tiger and Thunderlips.
Okay.
However, I will bring a different one to the table. The Italian Stallion.
Which one is the second?
The Italian Stallion is the softcore porn Sylvester Stallone did before Rocky.
Why do you have to always...
Wait, listen.
You always have to do... You can't just answer the question.
Party at Kitty and Studs Place. After Rocky came out, they re-edited it with B-roll of Sylvester Stallone working out like he was Rocky.
Nice. Right?
So it's basically a Rocky movie with an orgy in it. And my favorite part is this chick goes to go down on him. And she goes, I'm going to be
standing there looking at his dick. Get up, you son of a bitch.
She goes, I'm going to be velvet mouthed on your shank of love. Goes to go down on him. And he picks her up by the hair and goes, you bit me. And punches her square in the face.
Yeah. Good.
Right in the face. And then beats her with a belt.
Okay.
So that is my favorite Rocky experience.
And I understand why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Scopo, what do you think, buddy?
Favorite Rocky movie.
I mean, this is a big deal in your household. You guys, I'm assuming, just have this on a 24-hour loop, the Rocky franchise.
Do you know what, like, Christmas is? This is Christmas.
And the Sopranos, Rocky, and the Godfather's on a loop. It's the Scopo Network.
First of all, it's Godfather, Sopranos,
if you guys
Rocky.
Make no mistake about that.
That's the fucking... The Godfather is the be-all, end-all of Italian movies.
Okay, so
you need to get this
what's your favorite Rocky movie?
I want to say... It's a tie. I would say 3 and then... 2 3-2.
Yeah.
2's a really fucking good one because he doesn't want to fight anymore. And then he goes into
kind of a shitty movie.
But no,
as
he
well,
goes
though.
Into the whole like he tries to act and stuff, and he's just a fucking. He's like me. He just can't speak.
Yeah, him, so, like, him not being able to read Scopus, just choking.
I'm just like, I understand your pain, bro. All right, I get it. So I get it.
How can you write jokes when you can't read? I understand Scopus' pain,
bro.
So I get that, and then then you can win. I'll kill you, bro. Nah, he didn't see that coming. So that's, I say three,
Scopo,
then two.
Can you do more impressions?
That's all I have.
That's what Scopo needs. Scopo needs a corner man when he's on stage.
Do some crowd work, kid.
You're right.
You're losing up. Losing up. Say you got a Republican haircut. They love that kid. And bring Scopo to the side. Cut me, Louis.
Louis, Canadian. Do your butt stuff, kid. You're getting killed out there.
Light him. It's a massacre.
I got it. All right, Maddie, let's do the Maddie Jester Skulls MMA segment of the week. Has it been a big MMA week? I don't know. We'll see. Let's see if Maddie. My sister hit me up and she was like, "Why do you give Maddie his own segment? He doesn't know how to speak." And I'm like, "That's what's funny about it. Don't you understand? What's hilarious about the segment is that Maddie is borderline retarded, and he runs his own podcast, which is the funniest part to me."
This is on podcast?
Yeah, Dave Smith joins the room, I'd say.
I thought it was Tinkle for a minute. Mm. It's sophisticated, more evolved Tinkle.
All right.
Fire!
Dave Smith really is Tinkle
with
a top hat.
Here's your go-to for all things in the world of MMA. It's the Maddie Jester Skulls Hammer Fisting segment of the day.
I don't hear Maddie. I don't got him yet. Maddie, why don't you come use this mic since it doesn't matter since there's no camera? I wouldn't say that if... Or Scopo, yeah, give me your mic for a second because that one's not working. Yeah, it's fine. Just say...
Yeah, it should be a problem. Good? Yep. Rumblings about Jose Aldo possibly being injured.
Jose Aldo injured?
Yeah, he's not. There's nothing out right now. But last week, Chael Sonnen said... Or no, 2 weeks ago, Chael Sonnen said something. And now I'm seeing it coming out again. And like you always say, there's smoke, there's fire in the sport. So,
what do they say? Because you just mumbled that under your breath and pointed your face away from the microphone.
Sorry. It's weird talking and not looking at you. It's just... He's basically... They're saying there's a snitch in his camp.
Yeah.
That's like leaking stuff out. And now he's saying it's all bullshit. Like they're just making up.
Got it. All right. So look, the question is, if Jose Aldo is out of this fight, how much does that hurt the UFC? And who would they put in against him? I mean, I don't know. Nobody's going to know the answer to this question except Dave Smith. Who's Frankie fighting next? Dave?
Mendez.
Frankie's fighting Mendez.
Okay. So look, obviously Frankie's sitting in the wakes. That's a huge fight in itself.
That's actually the night before. So that would be like... Perfect. That whole card is the night before.
All right. Yeah. Look, they put that fight together specifically, just in case Jose Aldo or Conor McGregor got injured. They wanted those guys to be in shape, peaking, and ready to fight. So, look, if Jose Aldo does have an injury, which has happened multiple fucking times, it's not even that crazy of a thing. You know, who would we rather see in there? Frank Yeager, Chad Mendez. I'll give it to Dante Nero, who is no stranger to the sport of mixed martial arts. What do you think, man? Let's say the rumor's true. Jose Aldo's out. What do you want to see happen?
I'd like to see Frank Yeager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chad Money Mendez already had the shot.
Yeah.
Blew it. Frank Yeager is a fucking animal.
He's a beast.
How disappointed do you think the UFC would be?
They're going to lose this shit. I mean, they've been building this up so much.
Ronda just got beat and that fucking...
I really want to talk about that because we didn't really talk about that. I think what one of the things I think is interesting, and Dave, you'll testify to this, that knockout changes the game on a whole nother level for strikers. And we talked about this for years, that initially when the Gracies started UFC, the rules were set up for grapplers to win.
because you didn't have rounds, you could fake kick.
Yeah, it's eventually going to get to the ground. If you don't have a round or a stand-up rule,
right.
The truth is,
it's going,
even if it's two strikers,
right.
Even you watch two boxers,
they're gonna
what
clinch.
Happens with boxing?
They're going to clinch.
And then what's going to happen? But eventually one's going to get on top of the other.
But as they started to change those rules, you haven't seen a Gracie champion since then. And as the rules change and they're more strict about having inactivity on the ground, you have the emergence of strikers where you got guys who stand up and strike throughout the whole 25 minutes, the whole five rounds. And so getting Ronda knocked out and then the emergence of the importance of Conor McGregor, it changes the whole game in terms of striking being as important, if not more important, than grappling.
Well, the UFC doesn't want Frankie to come in and lie on top of Jose Aldo, or I'm sorry, on top of Conor McGregor, that's for sure. And I think the truth is that in order to get the sport to the next level, they do need those types of crazy highlight reels.
Sure.
I think the sport was built off the backbone of hardcore fans originally.
Right.
And I think that's why we were able to propel Randy Couture, George St. Pierre. Brock Lesnar was a different beast than himself.
Sure.
But these grappling heavy guys who had, you know, basically boring styles,
right.
You know, for lack of a better word.
Right.
They were, the hardcore fans were like, no, they were the best, and that's why we fucking love them.
Right.
Now I think that there's so many casual fans out there. I mean, dude, I've never seen people flip so quickly on somebody the way they flipped on Ronda Rousey.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's very easy. If Holly Holm laid on top of Ronda Rousey for five rounds and grinded away a George St. Pierre victory,
yeah.
People would hate her. But because it was this flash, crazy knockout and Ronda was being a bitch, it was this perfect storm of like, fuck that, dude. So I do agree with you to a certain degree. I do want to get Zach's opinion on this. Jose Aldo is out. Let's say that's actually the case. What do you think they should do here, and how bad is it for the UFC?
I think it's devastating for the UFC because they're losing like these big money names.
Yeah.
And now, once again, now that Ronda's out, and if they do have to replace Jose Aldo, I agree with Dante. I'm going to go Frankie Edgar.
Don't want to see Chad Money Mendez again, even though Chad Money Mendez, in my opinion, exposed something in Conor McGregor. I do believe that if they fought... They need to fight sooner rather than later because Conor seems to be getting better and better and better. Yeah. Dave Smith is jumping. Do you want to jump on the guest mic over here, Dave? You could jump on. That's not a problem, buddy.
I'm just making the point that everyone, I don't agree with you, but you and a lot of other people hang on to, like, he didn't have a full training camp. So just theoretically,
that fight is still sellable as a, like, now he had a full training camp.
Right.
He's going to fight him. So, but either one, but like you said, no, I think even with Aldo, Frankie Edgar's like the matchup nightmare for Conor McGregor.
Because
that's the dude who's not going to gas and can take him down. He can do what Chad did for five rounds.
Right.
You know, like, he's got the best shot.
Absolutely.
Well, Jose Aldo, his last fight, I mean, it's been a long time. I believe they're justified completely. If he pulls out of this fight, okay, I believe they're completely justified in stripping him from the title. You know, his last fight was October 25th, 2014. He gets another injury. I think 1 year of inactivity, in my opinion, is the standard. They should just take your title away after a year of inactivity and give Conor the title. He's the interim champion for now, and let Jose Aldo build himself
figure
up.
It out.
And I believe the UFC will do that, by the way.
Yeah, I say he has to be done, right?
Conor's already the interim champ.
Right? I know he is.
So I'm saying, like, yeah, that plus you've already given out an interim.
Yeah, dude, he gets another injury. I say you fucking strip him. Chris Scopo, what do you think?
I think, if Aldo goes, I think he's done. There's no, you can't bounce back from this. How old is he? He's got to be in his 20s, late 20s, early 30s.
He's, I mean, you just literally, Scopo just spoke to spoke. He had no opinion there, so he was
nothing,
just like.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, I mean, it was really funny.
Do you know why I'm going Frankie focused. Ever? Frankie Edgar's Italian, and I'm fucking going with him. How about that? he's from Jersey.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying, Scopo. Be real. He tried to analyze the
I
fight.
Tried to analyze it a little bit,
I like Frankie
because
he's got the same first name as Sinatra.
Yeah. Him, Valley, and Edgar. That's what I like.
Yeah, dude. We'll see what happens. In a weird way, I think, you know, it could be a blessing in disguise for the UFC because they don't really like Jose Aldo. He's a guy who gets injured crazy.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak English. He's a guy who fucking just, there's not really much marketability around
him.
If he was fighting five times a year and just knocking people out like crazy, you can build something around him. That's kind of what they did with Anderson Silva.
I was
Silva.
Watching the best of Conor McGregor, like, just fucking being nuts.
Yeah.
And he had so many, Aldo had so many times to go crazy against Conor McGregor, nothing. So they can't sell him. He's not a fun guy to fucking see. Yeah.
Maddie, anything else going on?
It's crazy too. This whole thing about moving, being able to sell fighters, and now the characters that they're starting to build. Like when we did that thing with Aljamain,
yeah.
And he's a guy who's really kind of just a guy who trains, was a guy, and he's saying, yeah, you gotta, there's a need to talk shit. And so it's becoming very boxing like, where because the sport is still evolving. I mean, how often you get a guillotine now? I mean, there was a time when in mixed martial arts, if you got a guy in an armbar, the fight was over.
Yeah,
those days are gone. And now, like we were talking about with Conor McGregor and Holly Holmes, and now if you shoot three times, you a lot of times don't have the energy to finish the fight without getting knocked out because there's guys are so defensive.
I would.
Yeah, but you're a fucking real ass dude.
I'm a beast.
You're a real ass dude. But it's so changed the game. Those two, Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey getting knocked out has literally changed the game in terms of whereas you see like Jackson team and the Black Zillions, they're bringing boxing guys in specifically to upgrade the whole striking.
And look, here's the thing, and I want to move on from MMA in a minute because I don't want to exclude too many of the fans out there, but I think Chuck Liddell kind of started that style. I think Chuck Liddell is the godfather of modern MMA, and nobody really gives him credit
for it. And the sprawl.
He was the sprawl dude. He basically was the guy who was like, oh, no, I'm a striker and a wrestler. I'm never using my wrestling to take this down. I'm using my wrestling for defensive wrestling, sprawl and brawl, and I'm going to keep you standing because I know that I can strike better than everybody else. And then everyone else was like, all these wrestlers and all these really athletic dudes were like, no, dude, I'm going to learn how to fucking strike with the best of them, and then I'm going to be able to utilize my wrestling and my grappling to put the fight where I want to put it. And we watched, literally you watched the sport evolve into that.
Sure.
And I don't think enough people give Chuck credit for kind of being the first guy to have that style. Frankie Edgar does what Chuck Liddell does, just smaller and faster.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Black Friday is here. It's Black Friday time, guys. Who fucking cares about shopping on Black Friday to save a few dollars on a thing or two?
I thought that was because you get to fuck black pussy.
No, it's not. That's not it.
What do you call it, Black Friday?
I do like black chicks probably give the best head, though, I will say.
Agreed.
Yeah.
100% agreed.
Yeah, they're really, really maybe it's the lips. Maybe it's the fucking, I don't know what it is.
They're more into it.
It's the music in the background.
Yeah. They've always got a beat in their head.
It's the beatbox.
It's the extra bone in their foot. So, yeah, you see all these videos. I think I'm a little desensitized to Black Friday videos, these shopping videos. They're kind of stupid. There was one today. Pull up the woman stealing the thing from the kid. Did you guys see this one?
No.
I don't know where they were at, dude, but this fucking woman, I'll show you right here, man.
Can I guess? Hasidic Jewish lady.
No.
No?
So look, dude, this is the video. All the shit gets knocked down, and you see this other woman come in and just grab a box out of this little kid's hand, and then the mom starts fucking pushing her violently. They show it again in slow motion. Now, what country do we live in where somebody would literally come and take something out of a little kid's hands? Look at that shit.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Is it a white chick?
Yeah, it's a white chick stealing from a black person.
See? Just fucking Obama's fucked everything up.
Down is up.
Dogs and cats sleeping together. It's crazy.
What is going on out there in this day and age where a white woman is stealing from a black child?
With her mother there.
Now there are people saying that this video might be fake.
Why would it be fake?
Well, because they're saying that if you look at, like, there was all the boxes on the ground, so the woman actually had no reason to steal. So if it is real, the woman just wanted to steal from this black child.
It's like taking candy from a baby.
That's it. Except they were steamers.
This woman has been in every Black Friday video with a false flag operation.
ISIS did it.
But look, I mean, there is, people do fake videos like that because you get a few million views on a video. It
plus
equates to a few $1,000.
Plus, there's a white person stealing from a black person.
Yeah.
So they'll make it fucking like racist.
Because white people never steal from black people. Never.
No,
happens.
But I'm saying it would make it that way. Facebook rules.
We got rock and roll and that shit.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Stealing toys from babies.
Oh, shit.
Damn, but would you, five heartbeats.
You don't get, Dante, you're doing well enough. You don't really care about the discounts on Black Friday or anything like that.
I would rather pay more and have them deliver it, have Amazon deliver it to my house.
100%. I cannot wait until Amazon starts. I know they already have in certain areas, but until it's like a regular thing where they start using drones to drop off.
They don't deliver fucking fur coats. You can't get a discount on a fur coat on Black Friday, dude. Can't do it.
It's so funny, man. Part of it seems like it's not even like the deals. It seems like people are going like just for the fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like running with the bulls. You know, it's like, yeah. Are those people crazy? I think kind of. I think these people are getting involved in that situation and trampling for their. It's part of the fun of doing it. There's a lot of young people.
It's like polar bear club that jump in the cold water.
Yeah,
yeah. 100%. As we're comics out till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, could you imagine sitting out in the cold waiting to try and get a fucking TV? You're like, I don't want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Like our lives are so exciting in a sense of, you know, just. I mean, we literally hang out with millionaires every fucking week, every night. Bunch of million, you know, there's people that we know and are on TV and so it's like, what?
Not me. I mean, I hang out with. Yeah. I mean, who's doing the best in my group?
Thousandaires?
Yeah.
Still rents. The guy doing best in my group still rents his apartment and leases the car. So yeah, maybe you, Dante. But I think it's kind of crazy that people, you know, they show up for something like this, and you would have to go, all right. People understand the danger. They understand what's going on.
They like it.
I think it's fucked up when you see people bringing their kids. You hear like, I mean, you'll literally see people getting into fist fights and their kid like screaming in the background. I can never imagine putting my kid in a situation where he's got to watch me do something like that. You know, like you asked me in the car, you're like, oh, did you bring your kid to the Macy's Day Parade yesterday? First of all, with what's going on in the world right now with terrorism, I'm not bringing my kid. My kid is staying above 125th Street.
That's right.
Because
ISIS ain't coming up there.
Yeah. Fuck no, they're not. Okay. And if I do go out, I'm definitely not going to Fridays or to a Starbucks. I'm going to fucking JoJo's Chicken Shack.
Yeah, you're good.
Nobody's shooting up a Crown Chicken. Period.
Crown Chicken actually.
Well, their employees might shoot them.
They fund actually Hezbollah and
no, they don't. You got to go to the bodegas.
Dude, you didn't hear about that?
No.
Dude, Crown Chicken was implicated in funding of Al Qaeda.
No.
I live in Astoria, and every bodega is run by Arabs, and I'm like, this could be a fucking.
Crown Chicken.
This is back in the day. This is 2002.
Oh, so you don't think it's not happening now?
Well, no, they
learned their lesson.
Yeah. They fished them out. They're good, yeah.
Every time you go to a bodega, and there's just six dudes who don't work there sitting in a circle and talking, you're always like, I kind of wish I knew what these guys are talking about.
Yeah, dude, I'm like, they're just going to drop their shit. And they're just gonna walk out of the fucking place. They're gonna be the cell.
When they go silent, the second you walk in.
Oh Jesus! Yeah,
I'm saying, if they were involved with Al Qaeda shit back in 2002, they would have changed their name at the very least. It's a marketing nightmare,
dude. What are you talking about? Crown Chicken is the greatest shit ever. You can get nine pieces of chicken for $5.
They're not gonna stop buying chicken.
Crown chicken will make everything.
Did you know that watermelon was funding ISIS?
Well, they have ice cream, apple sticks. I don't even know what apple sticks are, dude. Fucking apple pie, coleslaw, peach
cobbler. They're fucking delicious. That's what it is.
That's what it is. If you go in there, Scope, and you go, look, you got spaghetti? He goes, no, but I can make, right?
Yeah.
The next day, they're going to have a picture of spaghetti on the wall for $2.99.
Yeah.
They will make anything.
All right,
every blunt wrap you buy at the counter goes straight to Hezbollah.
That's crazy, dude. That's crazy that they did that. I'm very surprised about that. I got to look more into it. Maybe it's time for guess the news, because I do have Al Qaeda claims responsibility for some
clown
shit.
Chicken.
Yeah, let's see. I'll pull up this Crown Chicken headline. From Free Public, Crown Chicken eyed.
Nine pieces of chicken for $5.
Crown Chicken eyed by feds and Al Qaeda funds probe. Here, let's guess the news.
It's time for another edition of Guess the News.
I have to know more information. I shouldn't have read just this headline. From the headlines that I've read, this man is innocent. He is the victim.
Man, these guys don't know shit.
All right, Crown Chicken eyed by feds and Al Qaeda funds probe. That's the headline, and I believe, Dante,
that's all you read about this story as well. Did you do any more research on this story?
Look,
say no.
No, I feel. I got a feeling. I got a feeling.
No, because he got chicken grease all over the newspaper. Couldn't read it.
Because it's the only one that's open. Like when you finish your last gig, 2:30, Crown Chicken. And you think they're just not... They're just...
And you didn't want to read the headline because you didn't want to implicate them any further. You're like, let me. It's better that I don't know.
I don't know. Then I can get my fucking chicken. I can get 10 wings for $4.99.
A lot of fast food involved in conspiracies in the world. Subway with Jared.
Tropical Fantasy was trying to... they were trying to chemically castrate black men.
What the fuck? First of all, what the fuck is tropical? What the fuck that
tropical
was?
Tropical Fantasy.
That's
was
the
like
club Dante used to dance
it was
at.
A cheap, well, actually, this is the Red Parrot, but whatever. The Tropical Fantasy is like a cheap soda. That's, and there was a whole, like, an urban legend that there was supposed to be
chemically castrating.
Sterilizing black men.
We looked into chemical castration. That is a real thing.
Sure it is.
So I get it. And you guys just couldn't stop drinking this shit. So
because they made it in watermelon. Come on.
Did you see on Fox News? Shelbo, pull this up too, buddy.
No, I didn't see anything on Fox News.
What did you say, Dave?
You got to hear the... They had,
except Dave. I'd watch Dave on there.
They had Harris Faulkner on, and I guess she's some sort of cook or chef or whatever she is. Once again, I didn't read the whole story. I don't know what she does. But she'll pull the audio up from this. Brian Kilmeade asks Harris Faulkner, while she's preparing a peach cobbler for Thanksgiving dinner, like as a segment on the show, this is what he asks her. I'll pull it up here in a minute. Also, you know, while we're guests in the news, why don't we do this? Well, so you got that already, Shelb? All right, do that. Pull it up.
All right, you know her. She's one of the hosts of Outnumbered, and today she is cooking with friends.
Harris Faulkner and Adara Bella join us with a special holiday recipe. You're going to make peach cobbler.
We are, and good morning, everybody. Good morning. Who are my friends? So good to see you.
Great to see you. Hi, Bella.
Bella, tell them what
she
you're going to do.
Daughter.
I'm going to pour the mixture into the bowl.
Little half black daughter.
You're done, stir, sweetie.
So far.
All right. So now I'm going to take my peaches and I'm just going to lay.
Which is great that they're canned, by the way, because you can do this any time of the year.
You can do this. I do it in the summer, and I put fresh strawberries in here too.
Oh, what a good idea! Right?
It's an African American woman.
Do I do what?
Make Kool-Aid.
No, I make Kool-Aid. But I made an adult beverage for us.
She does. She brought it.
He just asked her if she made Kool-Aid. When you're done, you. All right, that's it. He asked her if she makes Kool-Aid.
Of course.
Would that offend you?
You know what it does because you know what the implication is.
That all black people drink Kool-Aid.
I don't give a fuck what he said because he's a douchebag. And in the context of that, you go, this is what he does over and over again. But you know what the intention is. It's the fact of his intent to be offensive.
You would almost go like he has to know that that's offensive.
He knows it's offensive.
I thought he was trying to be like a joke.
Yeah, no. Offensive. He's trying to be offensive.
No, you think he was trying to make a race joke? I mean, Dave, you work Fox News a ton. You don't. You can't just make a race joke like that. They're all good people, Dave says. You can't just come out and like, make a race joke like that. And I mean, she just kind of like let it brush off. But that's kind of crazy.
She was like, no,
I make adult drinks.
She's like, no, you fucking idiot. Yeah. That's how it basically was.
Store brand drink powder.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny when I say this.
Red drink.
I say this all the time. If you're racist at this point, you're a fucking idiot.
What?
Because we already understand that melanin in skin has no reference or basis on somebody being smarter or more intelligent or less intelligent. I mean, it's just an absurd concept at this point in time. I mean, there was a time when there was false science about, you know, the Negroid skull, the thickness of the skull, and they were perpetuating this. But at this point, you know, it's like the world is flat. Melanin has no basis on your intellect or not a basis.
Yeah, but
on
you can say your intellect might not necessarily be your point of or your the reason that you're racist. You know, you might just be racist because fucking, you know, the Jews are controlling all the media and you can't get a show on, you know. That has nothing to do with their intellect. That it's me. I don't like the position of power that they're in.
I'm not commenting. They're all great people.
They hold all the bank. They hold all the keys to the banks.
They can spring for another pair of headphones. But.
I'm just saying. But in the context of that, to say that people are are innately this way or that way, less intelligent, more intelligent, or prepared. It's just absurd. Scientifically, it's absurd. So if you
I don't really have a problem with racism. I'll be honest with you. I don't like, and I'm a person who I've experienced a ton of racism, both giving and receiving. Yeah. But I really have, and in all honesty, I just think that there's worse things that people can be. So if there's some old guy like a Donald Sterling that makes some fucking racist comment, we did talk about Donald Sterling last time you were on the show, so I don't want to rehash it too much. I don't really hold too much value in those words that he used in a private phone call.
But I mean, he's an idiot. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying at this point, if you're racist and these are concepts that you really think are true when we already know that there's scientific evidence that opposes that, you're an idiot.
But when you
I don't really give a fuck what an idiot thinks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even when somebody's not an idiot.
So leave, Scopo.
it's just not something that I think you should be concerned about. Whenever somebody critiques me or has a critique about me, I look at the source first. So, but this is exactly what I was saying about you and Beatrice. I was like, for her to critique your career, who the fuck is she?
Wow.
She shoots pictures on a fucking Polaroid. Just shut your mouth and do what the fuck you're supposed to do.
Well, she has skin in the game, though. She has skin in the game, though. When you have a kid with somebody and you live in a household and you share bills and you share responsibilities.
You also chose to have.
Yeah, but you still, at that point, you kind of. Like, for example, all right, if Beatrice said, oh, I'm not going to make any money now. I'm just going to go and shoot pictures of protesters for the next year. I think I would have a right to go, well, hold on. Let's examine this for a minute. Even though I'm not a photographer and I don't really understand that aspect of it. I would have a right to go, well, let's figure out something that works for both of us because you need to also be including.
But that's reasonable. But to go from a situation where you were making no money running your mouth to you making money running your mouth and doing podcasts and doing radio, where is that variable?
Yeah.
To say, so if we had this discussion, if we're going to have a reasonable discussion, as opposed to this emotional state that she's in and the horse shit that she spits out because she thinks this is the case, then let's talk about the fact that I went from nothing to something.
Yeah.
And whatever you're making for talking, you're making money for running your mouth, literally. Yeah. So if you go from zero to whatever, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever
chicken
it is.
Chicken shit to chicken salad, right. From my mouth to God's ears.
Exactly. So it's now, is it reasonable to say that this is a problem now when I've already showed that there's progress?
I'm 100% with you, and I want to talk to you because we only have about 10 minutes left here on the show, but I want to talk to you about your consultation services, which is a new thing. Now, Dante Nero, I walk up, and we get here to Stand Up New York Labs. Dante's out in his car, and if you haven't seen Dante's car, it's fucking awesome. It's like he's got a superhero car.
It's a transformer.
Like if you see a superhero, you expect him to get out of it. It's like a Jeep, but it's got like huge wheels, and it's got fucking like so much detailing.
Is that
and, like
gas
red
tanks
and,
in the back too.
Yeah, it's just
that's
just
for the apocalypse.
It's just it looks like
the pull me over mobile.
Yeah, if you want to get shot by cops,
actually no,
or fight
you know
zombies,
it's so hot
this
now.
This is the car.
It's so hot now. The cops pull me over and they ask me, yo. Where'd you get this done?
Yeah.
And how big are the tires? So they actually.
You tell them, be like, it was done at Iron Man's house.
And he has Stark's pictures industry. Of him in the seat so they know he didn't steal it.
Stark's industry did it. So
it's so funny because if I had money, it wouldn't be spent on detailing a car like that. It would be like, I'm just not like, that's very much, I think, like an urban fucking like attitude to have. Like, just wanted to fucking. And it's great. Like, you dress really. I wouldn't spend my money dressing really nice. I would probably spend money on like sneakers because I like Nike. I've never been able to afford.
Dude, you can get a pair. You know, you can get a pair of Jordans for $2,000 now. Like certain.
No, I know.
Limited edition.
Like, I might splurge and have 30 or 40 different pairs of sneakers that I would wear with different outfits because I think Jordans look. You know, Air Force Ones. The different styles. I think they look really dope. And
but
I
think that the problem, and this is the way I look at it. I think it's just like we've already established. That you're a great dad and that you really work hard at being a great dad. But what happens is we take so much time taking care of our woman, taking care of our children, and we do nothing for myself.
Yeah.
For ourselves. So my daughter's 26 years old. I take care of my mom. My mom is 83 years old. I have my own career, my own but this is just something that I wanted to do. And there may be something else that I want to delve into later. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, but I think that we need to, as men, we need to take some time for something for ourselves. It's just selfish for ourselves.
It's your own version of your man cave.
Right. It's,
and you do that, like, you know, if you go to Dante's studio at his house, he's got a beautiful studio. Right. You know, there's a certain standard of life. It's kind of a funny thing, the certain personality types, since typically black and Hispanic men, they will spend their money on making sure their car is fucking dope, making sure they have a nice outfit, nice watch, nice accessories. That's not really, like, I would spend my money traveling. You know what I'm saying? I would spend my money maybe
and
on, like,
I do that too. I travel,
you know,
too. But
a nice couch. You know what I'm saying? But, like, not, it wouldn't be, but I always thought that was kind of interesting. But you yourself, you're always been an interesting guy, very funny. You've always had a way with women. You always have this confidence about you with women. And your whole show, the Beige Phillips Show, is about being a man and how to, I mean, for lack of a better term, train your woman.
Right.
And now you've gone out and you've started offering these services to other men that are in need of the services. So when I walked up, you were on a call.
Right.
I knocked on your window. You were like, hold on, I'm on a consultation call.
Right.
And he's fucking just in his car listening to hip-hop music, talking to some fucking nerd. And I thought it was very interesting. Explain to me what your consultation service is.
Okay.
And I want to get a little bit of an example here, because you've been consulting with me. But let's take me out of it, because I want to watch it in action. I'm going to Scopo, who he's got to get his balls back. We've been saying this for a very long time.
I got my balls.
He doesn't even know where his balls are. So we're going to have you work with him a little bit, because he's been smacked around by his woman a lot in his relationship.
You still with her?
Never. I'm still with her. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a good woman. So what's the deal? First of all,
I don't even think that women are good women. And not that women are not good women, but the point is, if you're a bitch, if you act like a bitch, your woman will treat you like a bitch. I don't care how great she is. When you give off this beta energy, she will...
That's you.
But I don't do that, though.
That is completely
you.
That
is why we fight a lot, because I won't give in to her what she says about me.
No, because if you weren't a bitch...
What did she say about you?
I don't listen to her... I don't care about her.
Okay, let me ask you this.
I'm really not good on podcasts.
Really?
No.
She knows that?
But here's what's interesting. Nobody that I've ever dealt with has the ability, they can't critique me. I don't allow them to critique me, because I don't allow a woman to define me. She's attracted to me because of who I am when she met me. And then what? All
if she was going to define you, though, she would say Dante Nero, noun, giant genie.
Right, maybe giant genie. I mean, I can't really give wishes, but I can, bitch. I can make your wish come true. But I think once you start to understand what your value is, and I think anytime, and this is a life philosophy. I don't let anybody can give me a criticism. But in order to give me a criticism, I'm going to look at you and what you've accomplished before I take your criticism. Now, a lot of people don't like that, because any people have criticism. Well, you should do, and I'm just curious, and you...
Don't throw stones if you live in a glass house.
Right.
Another Danteism. He came up with that first.
Well, actually, what I say is never let a bitch define you, because if you do, it won't be long till you ain't shit. So allowing her to critique that gives her the ability to, if you let her kind of give you accolades and you take that personal, you also open that door up for the criticisms.
So you need to keep her in a box where you have no type of emotion, whether it's good or bad.
No, I think you have to, as a man, you should be constantly critiquing yourself so that you are constantly creating, moving towards you creating the best version of yourself.
Yeah, I do, Dante. I go into depression a lot. I look where I'm at in my career,
here's a lot of things. If you think about even the fact that you get on stage every day. I mean, like, as a comic, and I would say that if I was consulting you, I would say the fact that anybody who gets up on stage, you are saying, I am going on stage and I'm going to be critiqued for every second that I'm on stage. The bravery that you have to do that. I mean, I think as comics, we do it so frequently that we don't take into consideration the balls it takes to do that consistently over and over and over again.
I mean, you could even relate it to what we do here. I mean, we put ourselves out there to, you know, a piece of content like this for free for the world to see, and you get to listen to it and go, oh, these guys are dumb, or they're funny, or they're smart, or stupid, or whatever it is.
It's an amazing thing. So when you think about your depression, I mean, I don't think you're taking even into consideration the amount of risk that you take on a day-to-day basis just to be a comic. And then What is she, I'm curious, what does she do for a living?
She's a makeup artist.
Right, so she paints a bitch face.
She paints important
and so,
people.
Which, you know, if she does it, great. If she doesn't, the chick washes it off. This is like when we had Al, I did your other podcast.
Yeah.
You were asking, Al Jermaine's girl is gorgeous. And you were like, man, how do you pull a girl like that? And I'm like, I'm curious, what is she doing? She works at Sephora. And I go, this bitch sells Curve. You are the
a cage
number
fighter.
One. You're the number one contender in your weight class, and this bitch sells fucking Curve.
Yeah.
Of course you have her. In fact, she should kiss your feet, the fact that you're even letting her in your presence simply because she's beautiful. And I think that the problem
so
is...
what? Let me ask you, though, because like we are kind of out of time here. What is it that your service offers... specifically, because who is the target demographic? Let's say this is Shark Tank, which is my favorite show on television. Okay. I'm playing Mark Cuban.
Oh, I want to be.
No, I'm being the Cuban. You're out of your fucking mind. You're Lord Grenier.
Give me Mr.
You got a big chin.
Mr. White. Mr.
Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful.
No, you're not wonderful. Zach, you're going to be the black guy.
Cool.
Okay. So this is the pitch. This is your business. Dante Nero's consultation service. Let me know.
What do I do?
So you gotta tell me what this is, what people are paying you for.
People are paying for me to learn how to manage their bitch, how to get pussy, how to fix their marriage, or at least to understand whether the marriage needs to be getting where you need to get out of it or the relationship you need to get out of it, whether or not it's worth it to fix, or if things have gone so awry that you can't fix it.
So you charge people? Is it a phone consultation?
Phone
in
consultation.
Person?
I do an hour.
And how much is an hour?
It's $150 an hour.
$150 an
hour. I do a half hour for $85. But okay. I've also done like
those are hooker prices.
But
you're literally in the hooker pay structure.
I actually will do group. Like I've done. I have a guy who I do. I do once a week. Like I did a group package for a guy where I speak to him once a week.
Okay.
If a guy can't get laid, I have a plan, a program that helped him to get over his approach anxiety. We talk about.
Now, be honest with it. Is part of this you have a young prostitute waiting at a bar, and then they feel like they graduate?
That would cost you way more than $150.
You know, if you do that after 4 months, you're like, dude, I met the most beautiful Asian girl.
Well,
she massaged me. She walked on my back. She gave me a table shower.
I can give you a real background. The first thing of a guy who now here's what's interesting. Pete Davidson. I got Pete Davidson laid. He was a virgin when he met me. Couldn't get laid. I got him laid. I have counseled Chris DiStefano when he went through his breakup. I went through Giannis Papas.
When Chris DiStefano went through his breakup with Pete D's new girlfriend?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you console him and get him to fuck that chick? I did
actually make Pete the beast that he was that probably made him snatch Chris's girlfriend.
This is all some sort of
so
like pyramid scheme.
So it's the gift that keeps on giving. You keep yourself
you're
aboard.
Just you're feeding yourself clients. You're breaking men's spirit and then bringing them back up.
I mean, this every comic that you can think of, anyone who's had a problem, they've called me up and they talk to
me. Well, I've spoken to you extensively, and you have helped me out a lot. You have a lot of you. Here's the thing, Dante. What's great is, you know, even if I don't agree with everything that you say, and because you have a lot of opinions,
you're wrong.
Because I'm wrong, maybe. But what happens is you have these conversations with somebody who has a ton of experience with women, has a ton of experience with life, who's, I mean, legitimately lived the life for a very long time.
Well, I pimped for 7 years.
I know you did. And it starts to, you know, even if it just sparks these... like just thoughts and these, you know, I'm like, I'm inspired right now talking to you. Like, first of all, I'm inspired in general. I think I told you guys I was depressed. I've been putting on weight. I've been eating. I've been fucking just shoving alcohol into my face like every night. I look like shit, dude. My fucking body. I got to get a picture before I leave here. We'll post the picture. My body. I'm fucking. Look, I'll show you right now.
This is fucking.
Wow, that was way from where you went.
I'm
going to tell you something, and I would tell a guy that in a minute. The great thing about being a fucking loser is that tomorrow you don't have to be.
Yeah.
Tomorrow you can get up and start fresh and then and start working towards being the best version of yourself. And that's really what the consultation is understanding what your value is, understanding what your vulnerabilities, what you need to fix, and then working at fixing them. For like I would say to a guy, like if there's a guy who's not getting laid, I had a guy who was 27 years old, sent me an email, said to me, if I don't get laid by the time I'm 30, I'm killing myself. And when I when I saw the guy, he wasn't the most attractive dude. I'll show you a picture, the pictures afterwards. But I worked with this kid for 3 years.
It was Ruben Mehta. It did not end up well.
But this dude is a beast right now. Like, he's a chick monster.
Dude, you seen before, he looks like a little white nerd. Now he's got a huge bone through his ear.
He's just wearing
pimped out gear.
The other thing is, I don't want somebody to be a version of me. I want them to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm able to see that because it's funny when you say that everybody's different. It's not, because I'm doing consultations sometimes anywhere from 6 to 10 consultations a week. And I'm seeing these same patterns over and over. They're always, everybody thinks that their situation is.
But it's also a guy that would come to a consultation from another dude on how to be a man. There's probably a lot of similar patterns.
No, it's not.
With those guys.
No, it's not. It's married people who don't have control. I had a guy who was married, 51 years old, who married the woman that he thought he loved. He had 2 kids, built her a home in upstate New York with a circular driveway, a circular heated driveway. After 15 years, she goes, she wants a divorce. He calls me up and he says, what do I do? I said, give her the divorce today. 2 days later, the bell rang and they served her the papers, the divorce papers. And so here's a chick who had been out of the workforce for 15 years because this guy, all she had to do was take the kids to the school and then go to yoga and go to the gym and cook dinner. And now she's looking at a divorce where they're selling the house. Her mother, who was living in the house, has to move out, who's 80 years old, has to move out and find a place. She had to get a job. When she left the workforce, she was worth $50,000. She can't get a job worth more than $30,000.
So you're ruining people's lives.
No, but but if you think about the fact of the audacity for somebody to take that on a regular basis and then just shit on the guy who all he wanted to do was give his wife and the family a situation that where she could feel comfortable, and for her to just throw the D word around like that.
Yeah.
Then after that, I said, now you give her, now that you've, she's the paperwork has been served, give her that divorce in practicality, meaning that following week, the engine check light came on her car. She goes, hey, the engine check light comes on, and he goes, well, get it fixed.
I mean, here's the thing, though. I think I'm not dealing. My son's mother isn't the person that's going to go, I can't afford to put gas in my car. She makes pretty good money.
That's not the... But
we got to wrap in 2 minutes. The thing is, it is, and this is where I say there is nuance. It's like, no, I can't just go, all right, bitch, well, deal with this being a mother on your own to my kid. I can't do that because I want my kid to have the absolute best life possible. I would rather live in a fucking hole in a basement and give everything that I have to my kid.
You don't have to do that. But there are things specifically that, and I say this about guys, especially guys who live with their girls. They go, well, I'm married. How does this work? This doesn't work for me. And I go, it works for you more because entrenched in being a man means to take care of your woman. You have, as a man, you have to put your happiness first. The reason why you have to put your happiness first is because your happiness encompasses your woman's and your child's and everything. As a man, as a credible dude, you can't be a credible dude, your child be hungry, and your girl not be happy. So you have to put your happiness...
The only reason I disagree with that is because I feel like if you have that attitude, you might just better off being alone and not offering,
what I'm saying
not
to
offering
you is,
the emotional commitment to somebody else.
I think you can do all of that. I think what I'm saying to you is if a woman is happy, you're never happy. If you put her happiness first... Combining her happiness is never considered what makes you happy.
Happy wife, happy life. Bullshit. Is what the guy said right before Dante fucking punched his trachea out of his throat.
If I hear that one more time, I'll fucking choke somebody. The reality is that a woman's happiness is based on her emotional state at the time when she's taking it into consideration. And where a guy's happiness is encompassed in his child's happiness, his wife's happiness, his girlfriend's happiness, his side bitch, and everybody else. He wants to make everybody happy. And so
Dante,
that's why you got to put your name
Nero,
first.
The Beige Phillips Show. Dante, you have a ton of knowledge, and I love debating some of it with you. Maybe it's only because I'm blinded by my own, by myself being a pussy puppet.
Well, I think it's also...
I might just being pussy puppeted right now. This could be right now. The vagina speaking through me.
It is.
I don't know.
It is.
But we disagree on certain things, and I love talking to you about this stuff. Obviously, we're going to have you again on the show. I would love to come back on the Beige Phillips show.
We're
going to
have you on.
I would love to, because I'm going through it right now, and I'm making my commitment right now. I fell off my diet for a long time. I'm going to post my picture. Today, I'm officially back on the Real Ass Diet. I'm going to do a month straight, because what I want to show people, because I got fat again, which is, it's actually good. Mm. It's a good advertisement for the new year.
So you can see how
because I know a lot of the Real Ass fans are going to be making their New Year's resolutions. It's going to be to lose weight. And I will tell you right now, I have been an inspiration to thousands of people. Okay, thousands of people have told me they've done the Real Ass podcast, they've seen results, and at this point, I'm going to use this negative thing that's going on in my life and the depression that I felt and the way that I've been eating in a positive way.
I met Patrick Milton, lost 47 pounds.
Patrick Milton from Everybody Loves Onions podcast.
Yeah,
I went on his show.
Raving about it.
I changed his fucking life.
Yes.
Okay, I changed lives. Porter and Rattlesnake changed his lives. So what I'm going to show you guys, we're going to turn a negative into a positive. I'm going to show you guys my fat body right now. I'm going to take a picture of it. We're going to post it. And what we're going to do is week to week, we're going to fucking have the progress of the Real Ass Diet. And I'm going to show you guys before your very eyes how effective it is to do the Real Ass Diet. And you know what? Maybe I'll start my own consultation firm like Dante.
Why not?
And $150 an hour, you can just come and shoot the shit with me, and I'll just call you fat and inspire you. Who knows what's going to happen, okay? So I'm back on the Real Ass Diet
thousands
today.
Thousands of dollars.
Yes. So look, Dante, you got anything else you want to plug, buddy?
Just the Beige Phillips show. I'm also in John Wick 2. I just did a couple things. I'm in Pete Holmes' pilot crashing on...
Do you play the guy that robs him and Artie Lang?
I'm actually the one that the tow truck that smacks him in the face.
Yeah, because I didn't get the fucking part that I auditioned for, and I'm trying to find out who's playing that part.
I didn't rob him, though.
It's
but,
making me so angry.
You can hit me for one-on-one consultations. Hit me at savemedante@gmail.com. Hit me with that, and then I'll, you know, tell me what your problem is, and we'll fix it in a weekend.
Get your balls back, Dante Nero. Zach, what's going on, buddy?
Follow me. Twitter and Instagram at Zach is not funny. And if you're listening to this day of or day after, having a party tomorrow night at Lucky 13 Saloon in Brooklyn with Troma Entertainment. We're doing a holiday special for
Saturday
our web
the 28th.
Series. Come hang out and get drunk with us tomorrow night at Lucky 13 Saloon Saturday night.
Scopes.
Get me on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Scopo. Come check it out.
And guys, you can check me. I'll be headlining comics at Mohegan Sun January 6th. Going to have a lot of fun out there. It's my first time performing at that place. I'm very excited about it. Guys, go to my Twitter, Louis J. Gomez on Twitter, Gomez Comedy on Instagram, GomezComedy.com for all other tour dates and all that other shit. Next week, huge announcement. Are we leaving Stand Up New York Labs? Who knows? It all remains to be seen. Will they have their equipment and their shit in order next week? Probably not. But listen, guys, come next week. Stand Up New York Labs, Real Ass Podcast. Peace.
That's all, folks.